You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Well, if there are no other announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading, and it's in Luke today, chapter 2, and we're going to read 7 through 14, and I'll begin with verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Well, we got a lot to cover today, so let's begin with prayer. Father, we do thank you for your blessing this time together. We thank you, Lord, for the story this time of year that is worldwide, the story of the birth of your Son and our Savior. We thank you, Father, for the joy that it brings to each heart. We pray, Lord, that every heart might find the need that they have in him and have it met by him. And Lord, we do pray, particularly, Lord, for those of us who know him, that we might be bold in our witness for him. We thank you for this pleasure, this joy that's ours, and for these graces, for we ask them in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. It's an amazing thing to talk about the salvation of the Lord. And we do talk about the salvation of the Lord. And it's all of the Lord. It has nothing to do with us. There's not a thing that we can take credit for. It was a plan that was devised in heaven, implemented by God. It is a wonderful, grand, magnificent plan, and we have nothing to do with it. All we can do is believe in it. All we can do is glory in it. All we can do is open up the grandeur and the wonders of it. And that is what we'll do this morning in the scriptures. What did it mean? Why was it done? Was there not some other way that God could have provided a Savior than to do it this way? No. No, this was the only way. God looked down upon the earth and he saw darkness, pitch darkness, painful darkness. Darkness that man couldn't comprehend and darkness that man couldn't perceive. Darkness that man couldn't do anything about. And God decided to provide light. And great was that darkness until the light came. And Jesus is that light. Satan spread the lie. Adam believed it. And sin entered the world. And because of that sin, death entered the world and all have died. All died. All men died. All animals died. All trees, all plants, everything died because of sin. But God had a plan. God had a plan, and this morning we're seeing the most magnificent and the grandest plan that was ever conceived or told to man. And it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming that in the councils of eternity past, that God in his manifold wisdom, decided to send the second person of the Godhead to be born on this earth. And he said, I will prepare you a body, a sinless, perfect, clean body, not corrupted by the sin of man, but born of a virgin, born of a woman, and not of a man. For by man, sin entered into this world. So he was born with an uncorrupt body. He was born of the seed of the woman. And in order to do this, he had to go around the natural order of generation. He had to deter away from what he had created on this earth because of the corruption that was found on this earth. Every one of us, man, woman, boy or girl, was born of a parent that was a father and a parent that was a mother. But him. And he was born to die because of that. There was no sin in his flesh, no sin in his heart, and there was no sin in him. None. He was the perfect sacrifice. He never committed sin. He never knew sin. It was impossible for him to sin. And God prepared him and kept him for 33 years until that day on the cross. And he died for the sins of the world. Your sins and my sins. And he cried, it is what? Finished. And it started here on earth with a virgin birth. We're going to look at four things today. We're going to look at God's plan and God's provision. We're going to look at God's proclamation and God's purpose. And it begins in chapter 2, verse 1. God's plan. And in this we see that God has considered all things. It came to pass in verse 1 in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Amazing. Just happened to happen at that time that all the world was going to be taxed when this young virgin was with child. But that was God's plan. Perfectly set in order and perfectly orchestrated by Him because He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the creator of all principalities and powers and mights and dominions. He is, as He revealed Himself to Moses, the great I Am. Nothing escapes His presence. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, this verse over here on the wall, it says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And there's a reason for that. And we find that out when we get to the end of the verse. It says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God, the author of that word, is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The next verse in Hebrews 4, verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. There is no being, there is no person, there is no thing who is not wholly known to God. I think Paul wrote that in order to tell his readers, don't deceive yourselves, because you may deceive others and think you get away with it, but you haven't, because all things are open to God. All of our thoughts, all of our feelings, all of our plans are completely and distinctly understood. And of this there can be no doubt, that everything is in the presence of God. Second Chronicles, and you don't need to go there. I'm going to quote a couple of these just to prove this point that God's plan pervades all of history and all of time. In 2 Chronicles 6:9, you're familiar with this verse, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Everything is in his presence. He's looking for those whose heart is perfect towards him. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So there is a difference. There is a distinction in the plan of God. God does not rejoice in the death of the wicked. God does not joy in sin. He sorrows. In Genesis chapter 6, we find out about Noah. Adam is the parent of everyone, but we all spring from Noah and his three sons. Amazing thing to remember, and what Noah found was grace, it says in verse 8. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The marvelous redemptive love of God. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Spurgeon wrote, and I was reading it this week, Spurgeon wrote that Christmas is a superstition to celebrate it at this time of year. And we'll see that. There's a couple of things we'll see today as we go through the lesson and the scripture. We'll see one, that you don't tax people when it's 30 degrees outside. You don't send them off on a journey when it's freezing cold. You don't have shepherds out in the fields watching their flock by night. I mean, they were customarily out there sometime around Passover in the spring, around April in that area. They were out there until autumn. And then it got cold. And they brought them in. So, you know, and I don't think I'd call it superstition. I mean, it began to be celebrated at this time because there was a pagan holiday that was celebrated at this time. You know, December, what is it, the 22nd is going to be the first day of winter. Is it 22nd or 21st? Anybody? Well, when it's celebrated, isn't that supposed to be the shortest day of light and the longest day of darkness? Yeah, the winter solstice. And I don't have a problem with whoever did it. I think it was started around the 300 AD or 400 AD. They began to celebrate at that time, overriding a pagan holiday with the new idea that every day is getting lighter and lighter, longer and longer. I have a problem when we pick and celebrate it. I'd like to be honest about it, though, and say we do know through the scriptures we can study and find out that it was in September, more than likely around September 29th, that Christ was born. But the world celebrates it this month in just a couple of weeks. And we celebrate it with them. And they got a little fat, jolly man in a red velvet suit who knows if you've been naughty or nice. That last verse, let me read it again. Proverbs 15:3. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Satan's not a replacement for God. Santa's not a replacement for Satan. Santa's not a replacement for God. Not in any way, shape, or form. I'm not compromising, I don't think. He's just Saint Nick. He's just a bearer of gifts. What a day to recognize the greatest gift that was ever given. God's plan. Unconceivable by the mind of man. C.S. Lewis, I read this the other day. He was quoted, it may have been in the paper, so you may have read it too, but he said, reality, believe reality, because reality is much more inconceivable than something man could have thought up. Does that make sense? I mean, the way it happens couldn't have been devised by man. Not this way. Not this method. All the nations are even as nothing but a drop in the bucket of God. He plans all of these. Nebuchadnezzar found out the hardest way, did he not? And he found out that Daniel, your God, is the God who rules in the affairs of men and over all nations. And so we see here Caesar Augustus, thinking he was probably going to finance another project and accomplish what he wanted to accomplish, but he was really accomplishing the plan of God. And it's not just the plan of God. Notice it's the provision of God. Look at the activities of Joseph and Mary. Verse 4. We're in Luke chapter 2. Verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. He cares about these things. You think, well, if he cared enough, then why didn't he provide a place in the inn? I don't know. Maybe you know. Come talk to me later. Maybe we can figure it out. But maybe it was to prepare him for what he was to experience. Remember in John chapter 1? He came into his own. And his own what? Received him not. You know who probably filled up the inn? The people with MasterCard and American Express. They had the buckos, you know. He was poor. His family was poor. And yet he was rich beyond measure. And the richness he had, he gave to us. Bishop Hall, I found this in a commentary I was reading. He said, quote, every creature walks blindfolded. Don't you think that's true of your life? Don't you think you walk blindfolded? You think sometimes you have a glimpse of it, and, oh, that's the way it is. I got that figured out. Not at all. You know, reality sets in, and you go, gosh, I never thought of that. I'm not saying sometimes we can't figure out that 2 plus 2 is 4, but a lot of times 2 plus 2 is 5. We mess up. We miscalculate it. We walk blindfolded. We do walk blindfolded. How do you know there's a God? By faith. Yeah. What is faith? Well, it's just something, you know, that a person believes that he doesn't have any evidence for. Well, there's a word, evidence. Evidence of things hoped for. Substance of things not seen. That's faith. The person who doesn't believe in God really has more faith than we who believe in God. Because we have more evidence and more substance of the things of God than they have of no God at all. And that's why secularism really is a religion. They try to fool us and say, no, it's science. It's not science. They perverted science. Science is what we see when the angels appeared to the shepherds, and they, in all the simplicity of a child, say, "Wow, let's go see if that's it." And they go to the city, and they go to the manger, and they find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and that's science. First is simplicity, and then science comes. Simplicity is believing what God has to say. I imagine Noah had a really difficult time believing it was going to rain. It never rained before. What's rain, you know? Build an ark? But he did everything that God had commanded him to do. I imagine Samson truly is a picture of someone who walked blindfolded. A judge of Israel and a powerful man of God, led by his own lust, ended up having his eyes put out. And poor Job, look at him, lost all he owned, lost all his children, lost his health. Saul thought he was riding on top of the world, got these orders from the chief priest. Woo! I'm on top of the world, let's go to Damascus. What happened? Came Paul. See, life is kind of like walking blindfolded. Bishop Hall goes on to say, every creature walks blindfolded, and only he that dwells in light knows where they go. You believe that? God knows. That's why he can provide. That's why he can care. Peter writes, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know what that means? That means that I have to be wholly committed to him. Didn't say cast some of my cares. It's all of my cares. Cast all of my cares upon him. Because he cares. He provides for me. I think that came from Psalms 55. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know, in hindsight, when you look at those cares, and they're nothing but the tool of the devil. They're nothing but the tool of the devil in our life. They are nothing but a distraction from the enemy. Jesus said, the cares of this world, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, enter in and choke out the word. Choke out the word of God, and then that seed becomes unfruitful. But we haven't that condemnation. We have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he before ordained we should walk in. That's God's provision. His provision leads to his proclamation. Look at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I like that. In verse 10 it says, fear not. You know, when you become wholly committed to the Lord, there is cause from a human point of view to be what? Afraid. To be fearful. Because you give up every right you have to organize and order the events in your life and take charge of things. Does that mean you stick your head in the sand and act like an ostrich? No. Not at all. You put one foot in front of the other and you keep walking day by day. But committed to him. Trusting in him. He is the God of all comfort. And that's why he says, fear not. He is the God of all comfort. There was in Matthew chapter 9 a woman who was diseased, had an issue of blood for 12 years. Remember her? And while he was going to heal this other woman's daughter, this woman comes up behind him and touches him on the hem of his garment. And Jesus turned around and saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. What made her whole? Her faith. Her faith. Her faith made her whole. Faith comes from what? Hearing. And hearing what? The Word of God. God's proclamation will make us faithful, will make us whole, will give us comfort. In Mark chapter 10, there's Bartimaeus. They're in Jericho. And Jesus walks by, and he was sitting on the wayside, and he was blind. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, and Jesus said unto him, be of good comfort. Rise. And he called. And he rose when he called him. But it's the God of comfort. That's a God. That's God's proclamation for us that believe. Look at what he says in verse 11. Again, unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior. The Savior. Who is Christ the Lord. The amazing plan of God. The amazing provision of God. And the amazing proclamation of God. Man never could have come up with this idea. And so we, like the shepherds, need to fulfill the purpose of God. What is the purpose of God? Look at verse 15. Read with me. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them, the shepherds, into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, even as the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. We need to make known the things of God. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they, verse 18, that heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I'd wonder too. You saw what? There was an angel, and then behind the angel, this glorious host of angels began singing. Go back to verse 13. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. That's a military term there, that word host. That's an army term. That's an amazing picture. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. And what were they doing? They were praising God. Saying glory in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Now it says goodwill toward men. But I like that translation Mac has always taught us. He says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward men of goodwill. Because men that are not of goodwill have no peace. Men who are not of good will have no peace. God's purpose, and I think as we study this book, we'll see His wisdom. God's purpose, coordinating all of these events, bringing all of these things together. Now, let me stop here. God causes all things? No, I didn't say that. God coordinates all things. Remember Romans 8:28? Oh, we know that all things work together for good. It's not the all things, because that would be just the good things. And what else could good things do? It is just all things, good and evil. All the bad things and all the good things work together for good to them that love God. God didn't cause sin. Sin entered the world by one man. But God has removed that condemnation that has fallen upon all men. God has removed it, and in fact, in Romans chapter 5, Paul writes in verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." What a grand, magnificent plan. And we had nothing to do with it. It was all done by God. He did it all. Inconceivable. Sherry and I are watching this DVD called The Privileged Planet. And it's terrific, terrific DVD about the fact that the planet Earth is so singular in its creation or in its presentation, in that it is just far enough away from the sun to not be burned up, and not so far away that it would be frozen. It has atmospheric composition. It has water, atmospheric composition, which includes nitrogen and oxygen and carbon. I always mess up here. It's carbon monoxide, I think. What do the plants give off? Carbon monoxide. What do we give off? Carbon monoxide. Well, that's what we breathe out. But it's one or the other. But the plants do one and we do the other. Okay, y'all, don't rattle me up here. and the Earth's crust is just thick enough for life. And the Earth's core is just big enough to send out magnetic radiation to prevent the things from the sun to wipe out the Earth. It just goes on and on, this DVD on the privileged planet, so that life could be here. Why is there life here and not on Saturn? Why is it we've had this SETI program? You know, the SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. You know, they've got all these, you've seen them, these radars, these big dishes out there in California and other places, all around the world, I think there's this, and they're beaming these radio beams up to the heavens, and they're picking up everything that they can pick up, hoping for something, some binary combination, so that we can see that there are people out there, there's life out there, there's intelligence. There's nothing. But here there is, because this was designed in order for there to be life. And not only designed to be inhabited, but placed in a location in the solar system, which is located in the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, not in one of the spirals, but between the spirals, and in such a place that all the work can be observed. I mean, it's just amazing what He has done. That there is not only something to be observed, but there is an observer who is in a place to do the observation. So that the heavens can be studied. The handiwork of God can be discovered. You know, the amazing thing, all of those guys that did all that scientific work, like Galileo, Copernicus, and Kepler, and Newton, all of those did it with the idea that there was a designer behind the design. There was a creator. Today we don't have, you know, we have since for the last 150 years, we have the idea that, well, there's, you know, it's all just, you know, the measure of man, humanism. It's evolution. It just happened. And every one of their theories is just, after a few years, gets debunked. I mean, it takes more faith to think that that's accurate, since every time you turn around, it's strike three, you're out. And they find something else, and strike one, and strike two, and then strike three. You're out. Let's find something else. That takes more faith than to believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. At least we have a first cause. We have a primary mover. They don't even have that. God's plan. Everything is a part of His purpose. Everything in God's purpose is involved in it. And involved in Him. Because Paul said there on Mars Hill in Athens, he said, everything moves and has its being in God. Let me quote it to you. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Or in Colossians, as it says, for by Him are all things created, that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Isn't that an amazing thought? You know, and in some feeble way this morning I'm trying to share that with you, and I can't do it. I mean, maybe none of us really can once we stop and think about it. I mean, it's a heart activity, isn't it? It's a heart that is changed to Him. How do you explain that to somebody? You don't. You can try, but you know they'll never grasp the depth of what you're trying to share with them, and you'll probably get frustrated. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to live it. Yeah, that's what He came to give us. He gave us life. And we who believe in Him, He gave it to us abundantly. Why? So that the joy that He has for us can be filled. What an amazing plan. What an amazing thought. Turn on to Galatians chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 4, Paul writes, but when the fullness, of the time was come. Not according to as man reckons time, but as God. And all of these things, God's plan was set up. It wasn't Caesar Augustus. God's provision was made. I imagine Mary and Joseph just, why are they taxing us at this time of the year? At this time when Mary is with child, why couldn't they have waited till next year? Or done it the year before? Walking blindfolded. In the fullness of time, God's proclamation. In the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Like the heavens, we are to declare the glory of God. What an amazing opportunity is before us. You have that opportunity today. Take advantage of it. Don't let any moment slip by that God has given you to glorify Him and praise Him for what He has done. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We praise You for this magnificent plan that You and your infinite wisdom developed, that you worked out, that you caused all of the ages and the occupants of those ages to be a part of, to show us your love, to give us the perfect redemption. One who knew no sin, who never had to die for his own, because he knew no sin, but one who could die for me and each of us here. We praise you for that. We thank you for this opportunity, this time of year, to celebrate his birth, and that the whole world might glorify him and praise him. We thank you for this in his name and for his sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.